The latest UN climate report caused a lot of headlines and alarm. It warned that we have about a decade to make the changes necessary to stave off the worst impacts of climate change. Yet when Stephanie Chalupka speaks to people all over the country about the health impacts of climate change, she says people seem surprised.
I think people think of climate change as sort of being about penguins and polar bears, not about people.
Chalupka is professor and associate dean at Worcester State University's nursing department and is visiting scientist at the Mid-Atlantic Center for Children's Health and the Environment at Georgetown University.
I think people are a lot more interested in the issue of climate change when they find out how it is already directly impacting their health.
One of Chalupka's areas of expertise is climate change and kids' health. She was in Pittsburgh recently to speak at a healthy school summit put on by the group Women for a Healthy Environment. And we sat down to talk.
What are the ways that climate change can impact the health of children?
Climate change itself will bring about worsening air quality, which places children at risk, particularly the traffic. Traffic-related air pollutants, ozone, fine particulate matter. Fine particles actually can penetrate very deeply into our lungs and cause very serious problems for children and older adults. The air pollution gets trapped. Trapped and therefore concentrated. Increased extreme weather events place children at risk too because they are displaced, exposed to traumatic events. In extreme events when they become climate refugees, as we've seen post many storms where they go to shelters, these are adverse childhood experiences for children that can have lifelong impacts. Increased range of disease vectors, for example, our changing climate has brought diseases to regions that never experienced them before because of the earlier spring and later winter, so the growing season or the season during which these organisms can reproduce and multiply, bring us West Nile virus, Lyme disease to areas that never experienced Lyme disease before. If you look at the map of Lyme disease prevalence in the United States in the year 2000 versus the year 2017, if you go on the CDC website, you'll see some really startling data in terms of how it has just moved across the country. We are actually seeing more severe storms, and this is increasing flooding. We are seeing school buildings, we're seeing homes flooded and bringing mold and a variety of other risks, including waterborne diseases. As we have these extreme events and we have flooding, we have penetration into drinking water supplies, not only of biologic or microorganisms, but chemicals as industrial storage facilities or manufacturing facilities, storage sites, Superfund sites, as these get flooded and carry toxins to what would be potable drinking water.
And say a little bit more about the psychological impacts of climate change, because I know that's something that you've published on.
Yes, climate change has a variety of psychological impacts. First of all, extreme heat events. We know that there's increases in child abuse, domestic violence. We see increases in issues with those that have pre-existing mental health conditions because they are taking frequently medications that make them more susceptible to extreme heat events. We also see increased suicide. We see a variety of negative psychological outcomes associated with those extreme heat events.
And how are children uniquely susceptible to these risks?
Children are uniquely susceptible because they depend on adults. They have immature respiratory systems, so as climate change brings us worsening air pollution, they are much more significantly at risk, not just those that have asthma, although certainly that will have a big impact on them. They are more at risk for, I spoke earlier about potable drinking water and biological contamination for drinking water. Those at either end of the spectrum, either very young or very old, are particularly at risk for those things. Children are more at risk because of their behaviors for those disease vectors, you know, Lyme disease, West Nile virus, because they spend more time outside and engage in different behaviors than adults. So almost every adverse health outcome that we see in adults related to climate change is actually magnified with children.
Are these impacts happening now? Are we seeing them now?
Yes, absolutely we are seeing them now. 20 years ago, we thought that it would be very realistic that we would be seeing in our own lifetime the health impacts of climate change. But these are already being seen. I mean, just look at the wildfires, the Carr wildfire, look at what happened in California this year. But it really wasn't just California. That's what we're most aware of. There were outbreaks of wildfires in Scandinavia, in Siberia. This is very serious, and it's happening now. I work largely with children with asthma, and we are definitely seeing increases related to poor air quality days, which are increasing related to global climate change.
What role do nurses play in addressing climate change and its health impacts in their patients?
Part of what we do is health promotion and disease prevention. We work with individuals, we work with families, and we work as part of healthcare delivery systems. We're no longer really in the phase where we can put all our hopes in stopping climate change. We need to start working on resilience and adaptation first, which is, you know, an effort to help people to respond. So helping with community shelters, cooling stations, helping to prepare communities to be resilient in the face of extreme weather events.
So nurses are kind of on the front lines.
Absolutely. We are on the front line. Nurses sort of are the foot soldiers of public health because there are over 3 million of us. So we have the opportunity to make an impact. And many of the things that we try to teach people about in terms of addressing climate change have important co-benefits. To tell people bicycle and walk instead of, you know, take your car where it's possible. Eat less red meat. All of these are actually healthy for us as individuals. It's incumbent upon us to be a voice for our community because we understand intimately the connection between climate and health, and to advocate for policy solutions, because it is great to change our individual behaviors. Though we can't underestimate the importance of our own individual contributions, but the only way forward is policy and large-scale action, because there's no way out of this except for working together at a higher level.
Stephanie Chalupka is professor and associate dean of Worcester State University's nursing department and is visiting scientist at the Mid-Atlantic Center for Children's Health and the Environment at Georgetown University. There's more about her work at AlleghenyFront.org.